Intro
and now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
This is David Irvine is on from Troon, Scotland. We are going to be talking to him with David. Was supposed to be in the second hour, got the time wrong, so he's in the first hour. Paul Rosenberg will be in the second hour. We're talking solutions, and yeah, I know this network. We're going to change the show format, guys. You know, this is what's coming. It's going to go to 2 hours without commercial interruption. We good, Donna? This is really becoming a thing. Ari at the network is was supposed to be on today, but she had a lawyer thing with the Crypto 6. That's another thing, David. You know, this crypto attack that's coming at him. We had the network, the FBI, kicked in the station because the guys running it were doing some Bitcoin ATMs and doing cryptocurrency stuff in New Hampshire. The FBI comes in with ramming vehicles and bash it in and then yanked all the wires out of the back of the amplifiers and everything, whatever they had to do. And I'm telling you, it's an attack on. So, well, first off, so we, you know, make sure we got you there. David, say hello to the audience. Introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. This is David Irvine of MadeSafe in Scotland. We're working on decentralizing the internet, or decentralizing the power of data, basically putting data back in the hands of the people. And it seems to me a critical thing, whether you like governments or don't like governments or whatever, there's no need for anyone else in the planet to have any say over your data, your thoughts, your messages to other people.
These are fundamental
human right. And it's not even that we are seeking privacy, we're just seeking reality. And the reality is that when you speak to someone, and when ever since we were cavemen and cavewomen and communicating, we didn't have third parties in the middle. That's a barnacle that's grown on society.
Yeah, we're changing the format of the show. And guys, I apologize, but we're going to go ahead and we're going to start doing pre-recorded and then podcast out to the network. And we'll do it without commercial, and it'll be 2 hours. And we're setting that up now. Because it's just, you know, with the primaries of the network sitting in jail, it doesn't help. You know, so this, and it's been an attack. This is coming heavy. Let me go ahead and tell you who MadeSafe is. MadeSafe was the promise, what David was trying to, you know, to explain there, if you could hear him, is that we are in a situation to where the anonymity of your digital ID, of people that can freely express themselves and communicate with each other without permission slip from the man. And the big promise of that was MadeSafe years ago, where David had already been working on this before Bitcoin, and nobody understood what he was talking about. And when cryptocurrencies came out and blockchain technology, and they go, oh, you mean like that? So when he did a fundraiser, we met at the New York Bitcoin conference in, God, 13 or something. I mean, it was a while ago. And we had talked before that. And I went to, you know, meet him there because he was coming in from Scotland. He wasn't even on the schedule. But when he got added at the very, very, very last ending extra time, you know, after show of the thing, it was packed. standing ovation. Everybody wanted to see him. Every news outlet, business outlet, everything, Bloomberg, Forbes, they all got to talk to David because they knew that he represented what was coming. Well, we were part of and promoted the fundraiser and their launching of the crypto. And when they did it, it sold out in like 5 hours while I was still in a plane from Panama. And I told Dad, I said, look, man, I'm afraid to get on plane. Oh, no, it'll take 3 months and they'll sell it in different state. I go, no, I don't think it's going to go the way you think. Well, it didn't. Boom. 5 hours, it was done. And I'm going, now you feel me? And it sent a signal to the rest of the planet, too, that decentralization of communication and currencies was a thing. It was supported, and they, them, those, and the man did not like it. So I'm, as time has gone on during the last explosion of crypto, he went from like, I don't know, nothing to all of a sudden $1.25, you know, MAID, you look that up for MAID safe, you see the currency, and he's down to like 74 cents now. Now, this is, means I did okay. I'm doing okay, but I don't even look at it. I got it in a wallet sitting over, and it's in the safe of kind of, man, I don't care. Because I see MAID safe coin as a future. This is a big thing. We're checking in with David on a regular basis to see where they are. Now, we're going to go into break here in, you know, about a minute or so, David, and then we'll see what we can do to amplify you more. I don't know what we can do. But I want to make sure.
No problem at all.
I'm sorry?
No problem at all.
Okay, we'll work on it. But I want you to go ahead. I want you to know that we've been paying attention to the space as you defined it. When you first came in, what we were going, yep, what David says. Now, when David comes back, he's going to talk about their progress, how they, you know, created development cells around the world and what they've been doing and how far they've gotten and how close we are to freedom, because it's going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. It's going to get Gettysburg bad. We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll be right back. 4 minutes, okay? 20 after. Hold on a second, Dave. We'll see if we can set this up. We'll be right back.
Crimes of the Crown by Captain Mark. The crown casts the world in shadow and claims to be our guiding light. Cowards clamor for security from boogeymen and ghost stories. While I say these hobgoblins are imaginary, I say those they propped up as our liberators are now subsisting on our bondage. I say there is freedom in the black, and that's exactly where we intend to go. The crown banishes its own officers for exposing its crimes and tortures dissidents to the brink of madness. It dominates the globe and swallows the wealth of generations, leaving only blood and excrement. The crown calls it piracy to explore frontiers beyond its grasp. So the time has come for us to define the conduct among pirates. I say the crown has trampled our necks long enough. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels? Or just want some swag to let the crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com. We won't be hard to find.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We got the audio thing. He set it up, you know, push buttons and stuff. Through Scotland and David Irvine, we might be able to hear him. All right, that's good. All right, David, I want you to monologue me. We need to get people caught up. They want to know what's going on with this MadeSafe thing. So help me out. Yeah. MadeSafe started. Why do you call it MadeSafe? When did you start doing it? How long were you working on it? Then crypto came and everybody went, oh, like that. So go ahead and tell us the story, man. Go.
Yeah, the story started, it was a typical engineering thing, engineering being what's the next problem, is a bit like physics, what should we solve, what's the problem? And working in computers and networking through the 90s, it was quite clear that one of the problems was complexity. Complexity of setting up servers, getting people to connect to them, companies to talk to each other and whatnot.
And it didn't make sense. It just made no sense whatsoever. So we started looking into around about 2002, 2003. Why do we lose data? Why are passwords being hacked? Why is all this stuff happening? And obviously, we all know from 2002 or onwards, that's just got dramatically worse. Companies seen that they could set up servers on other people's behalf and steal all their information, take all their data, track you, analyze what you're doing, change the way that you think. So this is all obviously incorrect. And it's incorrect not because there's greedy companies about it. It's not that. There are greedy companies. There's manipulation at huge corporate level and government level. But that's a byproduct of doing something completely and utterly wrong. So when we look back, and the story started when I was sailing about on a yacht. I took a couple of years out to try and work out why has mankind done this? Why have we done this silly thing of giving up control of our deepest thoughts and data and communications? Why is this happening? And for many years, I was trying to tell people this is a serious problem that we're sleepwalking into. And now, in 2021, we're almost looking back and saying, this is a huge problem. And the reason we think it can't be solved is ultimately go back to the fundamentals. The internet started, people had computers, they connected to the internet. And rather than connecting those computers to each other, corporates came in, very silly engineering, and created servers, which were computers that everybody connected to connect back to someone else. So a central point of control, a man in the middle of every bit of communication that you have with every other person on the planet, it doesn't make sense. So MadeSafe came along, and the idea was very simple. It was, we don't need servers, we don't need government control, we don't need data centers. If you take the unused resources on everybody's computer, and way back in those days, it was before even mobile phones, which have become a big thing now, changes things slightly, but everybody had a computer. The spare capacity on all of the computers in everyone's desk was 30 to 300 times larger than the likes of your Google and your Amazon and these types of companies. So we, as a species, already had all the spare capacity to store everybody else's data. And to do it in such a way where all that you have to do is really come up with a network that says all of these computers will connect to all these other computers in a secure way. And they'll all store little bits of data on every other computer in a way that the computer network knows where the data is, but humans don't. And when you log into your computer and you want to look at your photos, those all come back to your computer that you've logged into. Whichever computer that is, the photos all come back to your computer, just like lots of little BitTorrent things. And it makes a lot more sense. And then you actually don't need to store your own data on your own computer. Now it starts to make even more sense. Because my firm belief is, if you get a child and you show them a picture on a computer of their favourite dog, for instance, and they crawl along the floor to another computer, they want to know why is that dog not on another computer? Why is this thing different? Why are these different keyboards showing me different information? Or an alien species looking from outer space saying, that's fantastic, look, all these people, they've got this internet thing, all the computers are connected together, they must be able to communicate very freely and openly and be able to innovate and invent and come up with that whole species, they're almost acting like a single organism. The power that they will be able to progress the society at must be insane. And then when they look a little bit deeper down, they'll say, hang on a second, what's Google? What's Amazon? What's the government? What's firewalls? What's all these things? What have they done? what have they done? They're all connected to the one network and have specifically not connected to each other. They have asked other people to allow them to connect to each other. They're asking other people, can I please have access to my data? It is mine after all. And these other people, the corporates and governments, might say no. Information is power, and we all know that. Data is much more valuable than any money or any gold. Data is the thing that you need as a species. I mean, given a caveman $100 bill or a big block of gold, or give them the knowledge to light a fire. And what makes us go forward isn't the block of gold, it's not the money, it's knowledge. So knowledge is extremely important. And that, so the whole MadeSafe philosophy is not really to, and you see some other projects saying we're going to compete with Amazon AWS, or we're going to compete with, and the MadeSafe philosophy is, we shouldn't compete with any other third party that's in between people's data. We should make them immediately irrelevant.
Well, how close are you getting?
That's really how MadeSafe started off, and we did some tests and trials. Sorry, Ernie.
No, I was wondering how close you are. Yeah. One of the things, we're going into the break, and they yell at me when people talk over the music. So, you know, when we come back, I wanted to, how did you even know that? What's your skill set? You know, how much were you in computers? You know, what's your IT background back in the 90s and so on?
Yeah.
To realize that this is where we were going and it needed to change. We're going to find out. Yeah. David Irvine, when we come back in just a little bit.
No problem.
Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back. David Irvine, MadeSafe.net, MadeSafe.net. MadeSafe.net. Now, the crypto is made, MAID. Now, one, I want the audience to know, you know, what MADE means, M-A-I-D. You can start off with that. But your geekness comes from where? I mean, you're not that old. I mean, you know, you're back in the 90s being a super geek back then. You saw what the problems were, took a break. Now, wait a minute, I'll be back with a fix, you know, and now you're fixing it. But what was your history in IT?
Yeah, that started off in computers at Quay, actually, almost at the beginning with Thorn. I started as a graduate engineer. Prior to being in computers, I actually was a mechanical engineer, time-served apprentice. So I'm quite happy with a hammer, a vernier gauge, a welder, plumbing, all that sort of stuff. Then did electrical and electronic engineering. Then moved on with Thorn as a graduate engineer, working for them, and quickly became their sort of networking communications go-to person. And went through the whole graduate thing, worked for a lot of very large companies, and eventually went out to Saudi Arabia. They were building what at the time was the world's largest network. There was 7 different campuses, and we had to put 2,000 kilometers of single-mode fiber cabling, and they had to get this network designed, and that was my job. It was designing the world's, I think it still is, the world's largest private network. I did that and then came home to Scotland after a few years and thought, why is it only large companies that are able to get this kind of skill? Why not small companies? These smaller companies, they need to be able to communicate, get on the internet and whatnot. So ended up working for quite a few small companies and fell into almost a corporate thing again, until realizing that the problem wasn't the need to design a network. It shouldn't be that difficult. It should be you plug the thing in, you're connected to the internet, speak. And at that point, I ended up designing an all-in-one server called eBoxit that you just plugged in and it worked. It had things like Google Docs on it and whatnot. That was around about the mid-90s. Couldn't really get funding to take that any further, but that was a simple, every company can just plug this box in and they're connected to internet. They have their website, have their intranet, have all their docs online. And then I looked and thought, why are these things, why do we need to put backups on them? Why don't they just back up each other? And that sent me down a road thinking, there's this real problem here. The real problem, basically, computers don't connect to each other. So I looked at it, ended up writing a whole bunch of patents, I think about 38 of them, to try and get investment at the time. In the UK, you had to do that to get investment. You had to write patents to give some kind of proof that you're not a crazy person and you could build what you're speaking about. And then ended up around about 2004, 2005, developing the whole MadeSafe concept. MadeSafe, really, it's a play on a technical term, RAID. And MadeSafe means massive array of internet disks, secure access for everyone. The secure access for everyone is quite interesting because at the time I also wrote a security portal for the European Union Medical Association so that 13 member countries of the European Union in the early 2000s, they had to securely transmit documents and know who'd read them. And so I designed and wrote that system for them. So MadeSafe basically is massive array of internet disks, secure access for everyone. And really, the whole concept is, and I think I don't come from, I would describe myself not as a computer scientist, but as an engineer. So a typical day for me, I could be welding something in the morning, tending to some sheep, working on the robot thing, looking at actual intelligence of how do you transition AI to actual real intelligence. But 99% of my time is currently, let's get this MadeSafe network out into the wild. And that's what we're doing at the moment. And one of the reasons I wanted a network like this is obviously to free people, free data. But as AI comes along and actual intelligence comes along with continuous learning devices, not what we've got just now, can you drive a car, can you recognise a cat's picture, or can you recognise that? Those are not intelligence. Those are just advanced machines. They're not intelligent machines. But when we get to intelligence, the ability for then those kinds of things to communicate and cooperate over a secure network is going to be vital. And the ability for everyone to access that intelligence is going to be vital. So I come from a very much an engineering background, got involved in computers, get involved in networking to a very low level where Cisco and Wellfleet and all these companies were after me for a while, came back to Scotland and worked on MadeSafe and said, no, well, the whole thing's wrong. The whole thing stinks. It's all slewed towards the corporates. The ordinary small company and the ordinary people are excluded from this whole thing. And that's really what was the drive to get MadeSafe up and running. So there's a bit of maths, a bit of cryptography, a bit of networking, but primarily engineering. The whole concept of real engineering, I think, is lost at times. It's not about complexity. It's actually about the opposite. It's about simplicity. And similar, I spoke to you years ago about, you know, what drives the design of these things, and nature does drive the design. And it's like looking at, and I've spoke about it many times, an ant colony. Each ant follows very simple rules, and they make sophistication out of this complexity. They have done for 150 million years. Projects, and they're talking about you know, polynomial expansion of some calculus type thing. Nature doesn't work with all that nonsense. If you really want to do this and you want to do it right, you've got to make it simple. And it's got to be so simple that it works. The other thing that's also critical when you're designing something like a decentralized network, a network for the people, is that you cannot, and this is where computer scientists and some engineers, I think, get it very wrong, you cannot control the world. All that you can do is react to the world. So you cannot say, you can only update this document and then this next document and then this next document and then this next. You've got to be able to say, lots of people trying to update lots of things at the same time. Some computers will be fast, some will be slow. Some might not have data for a second, then get it later. And so really, it's a bit like neuroscience and where we're going with intelligence at the moment. And what people are starting to discover is the brain is not a very complex machine. It does amazingly complex things, but when you break it down into the cortical columns, for instance, each neuron is doing a very simple algorithm. We don't know what that algorithm is, but they're
All right, we're going into break. I'll let you go, man. You've got to explain. Now I got a bunch of questions we're going to fire at them when we come back. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence. David Irvine, just a little bit.
The overall picture in the real estate market today is one of frustration when you take many factors into consideration. The housing market pundits would have you believe that everything is okay, but the long-term trending on the real estate numbers say otherwise. You are starting to see another wave of commercial and retail center vacancies, which follows a downturn in the residential market. So when you are ready to sell your house, I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what you can expect before, during, and after the transaction. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way, and that includes professionals that can help after the sale to help protect your assets. So let's get moving today. Please feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, or visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Ba-rum.
I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied.
Covering the secrets and exposing lies. That's what we do. Now, David Irvine gave, he was the genesis of my hope for the planet. It was, I'm like, why the hell are, boom. David came in, he goes, yeah, we can do that. Do it like this, 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 boom. Now, the thing was, is IPFS and Filecoin has the same problem, I'm sure, that MadeSafe does. It's gaming the system because the incentives were that you earn cryptocurrency for the storage of data and its dissemination. But that can be gamed, just like they do, you know, Google AdWords or something. They'll just have robots clicking and you get paid or whatever the hell. And I'm going, yeah, whatever. So what you're saying is that I can store the data, make it available, and get, and they go, yeah, but you won't get paid. I go, you know how much I'd pay for that ability? I go, I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about. Let's do it. Not later. So I'm going, all right. So now I got a bunch of questions. So I go to David. I'm going, all right. The capability of storing data and making it available to everyone, you can or you can't do it yet. If you can, what makes it different from IPFS and why should I be using you and I'm going to buy a crap load more of Madecoin? You know, I mean, you pimp me, man. Tell me what's up.
Yeah, I think where we are coming from is we're not just a storage thing. If you look and say, well, we're going to create a storage network, you can do it very easily. BitTorrent did it years ago. So it's very easy to create a storage network. What we are doing is we're saying it's not good enough. you have to replace the whole thing, the whole internet. So that means that you've got to have the ability to not only store data, but the ability to, in real time, manipulate data. So you have your Facebooks and you have your Twitters and all the rest of it running on that same network. And to do that, people were using spare capacity for people's computers. So when people give up that capacity and other people's stuff's being stored all over the place, they get a reward of some kind, a token. That was always the design. And with that token, you can pay to store more data yourself or access the network yourself. Then when Bitcoin came out and the cryptocurrency, it was like, look, this stuff works. And he said, right, we already had a cryptocurrency design in 2007. And we did a lot of work with Paul Grignon in Canada on that. He was a fantastic person with us. So the whole currency thing, it kind of, Bitcoin was good in some ways, and the whole cryptocurrency thing was bad in other ways for us, because then everyone became, oh, look, you can do this and get money. Oh, look, you can do that and get money. And we have all the time been saying, it's not about money. It's about data. It's about information. The money is exactly as money was originally envisaged in the network. It's just a transfer of resource. It's a way to say, you've done something for the network. There's a thing. The network will now do something for you. And that whole point of doing that is to make sure that people who are keeping their computers online are rewarded for keeping them online. And that works. That works really well, to use a currency there so that you can be sure, not like BitTorrent or some of these networks where folks switch their computer off and then all of a sudden the file's not there and it's like, oh, maybe it'll come back, maybe it won't. Our proposition was very much different from that. It was, you're replacing the whole internet. Data has to not only be stored, it has to be guaranteed to be retrievable. All data has to be retrievable. And it has to be retrievable for a period of infinity. So we can never, if we're saying data is valuable, I'm not really interested in, you know, a lot of projects. What they'll do is they'll say, okay, Ernie, you can store your stuff here for $4 a month for however much data it is. The MadeSafe approach is that data is the most valuable thing that humanity's got. So we will store it for you forever.
Now, how does that happen? You know, we got, you know, we pin different nodes, you know, our Raspberry Pi pirate box thing that we're doing and so on. And we can have participants will pin the files there. So it's always there as a seed point or a pinned point of permanent data. And then it can be replicated. And that's why it goes faster, the more people use that kind of thing. How is MadeSafe making the data, once I load it, it's there forever and always? How does that work?
You don't need to pin it. That's the difference. It's every single piece of data going on the MadeSafe network exists for as long as the network exists, and hopefully any future networks. So the data, what we are saying is you don't need to do anything else. When your data goes on the network, it's there forever. It can't be hacked. It can't be manipulated. It won't get viruses. That's a kind of cryptographic guarantee we've got. But the whole point is the data is king. So you shouldn't have to like create some of your own servers to make sure that your own data is there. Just store your own data on them if that's what you want. The whole point is every single person on the planet can access this data free of charge. That's secure access for everyone. That's vital to us. And secondly, when you do store data on the network, it has to be guaranteed to always be there. You don't need to jump through hoops. You don't need to do some kind of strange somersaults. And thirdly, there can be no human intervention. In a lot of projects, what they'll say is, oh, you can run a box here and you can decide how much you're going to charge people to store your data. Oh, no way. That is exactly the road that we're not going down. That's exactly the stupidity that got us to people controlling access. In the Safe Network, it's not possible to control access. it's not possible to refuse to store some stuff because you don't even know what it is. So the whole point of the MadeSafe network is, if you're going to democratize data, don't do it halfway. Don't take a half measure. Don't tell folk you can also store it on a pinned machine or a tape drive for later. Do it properly. And to do that properly is a significant thing, but it's a good thing about being Scottish in one way. You're downtrodden by many other people, especially our neighbours. But we have got this ability to take on any challenge. And the challenge of MadeSafe is a considerable one. And where we are today, we'll probably come on to it, is in terms of, okay, it's great to have dreams, but if you don't make them reality, they're pretty much useless. So at the moment, what we've done in the last 12 months has been transformational. We 12 to 18 months ago, we had some offices. There was people working in those offices. I wasn't one of them. And not everybody was working on launching this network. And we cut everything back. We cut the team down to a third of the size. We gave them a day off a week so that they work less days per week. Their day, any day they want. That increased the productivity per person by 40%. And in this last 12 to 18 months, this team that here just now, a lot of them from the community, a lot of them there, not because they're the best engineers in the world or the best whatever in the world or, you know, all this stuff that people say about their team. This team are a bunch of folk for the community. A lot of them have invested in the company and they want to make the vision happen.
Okay, we got like 30 seconds before the music starts. How close are we to seeing a major announcement or usage or package that we can do for MadeSafe?
Good point. So the increase in velocity that the team have, for instance, is we did a test net years ago and then 18 months later another one happened, and then I think it was about 3 or 4 years before another one happened after that. This team, the way they're working at the moment, we did a test net about 6 weeks ago and we're on to our fifth one. The difference, the time between these tests are any now days rather than months or years.
Okay, so those of you that missed it, the music is going. About 6 weeks ago, a new test, like the third, fourth test net that MadeSafe is doing. It's close. It's there. Where do they go to get more information, David?
The Safe Network Forum is the best place. SafeNetForum.org.
And SafeNetForum.org, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
SafeNetForum.org. I'm going to put it in the show notes on the first hour. SafeNetForum.org. We can get that in there. We need to get you some help, man. I mean, like, I want to rock and roll, get stuff done. David Irvine, MadeSafe.